Detroit is getting some love in Venice. The Venice Architecture Biennale is a really big deal in the architecture world, and the U.S. designs this year, the U.S. Pavilion, they're all about Detroit. This year, four different sites in Detroit are being reimagined by architects from around the U.S. One of those sites, by the way, is the old Packard Auto Plant. Stateside spoke with the exhibit's co-curators, Cynthia Davidson and Monica Ponce de Leon, back in November.
The sites themselves all speak to the condition of the post-industrial city and the kind of transition that not just Detroit, but many cities around the world are having to make in rethinking the nature of the city when heavy industry isn't the primary focus of the city any longer.
One of the main things we're asking the architects is to understand the context of Detroit today, the reality of Detroit today, and use it as a backdrop for future speculation. So when they came to Detroit to visit the sites, they spent a lot of time meeting with community groups, meeting with business owners, meeting with nonprofits, so that they really get a cross-section of what is happening in Detroit today and use that as a catalyst for new ways of thinking about urban problems.
You can find that full interview we did with the exhibit's co-curators at michiganradio.org. Joining me right now from Venice, Italy, is Bryce Detroit, who represents a coalition of Detroit activists and artists who are concerned about whether Detroit's bigger issues are getting lost in all of this exhibit. The group is called Detroit Resists. So what's your concern about the Detroit exhibits at the Biennale?
First, Lester, thank you for this opportunity. Detroit Resists is a platform to uplift a legacy movement, this movement that has been active for the past 35, almost 40 years now. Community members, activists, artists, designers coming together to recreate space, reimagine community, as well as bring attention to those really specific community issues. So for us, our presence here, we were invited to participate in events to broadcast and to share this alternative method that is being employed and producing measurable community results. If we were to frame it from a concern standpoint, then the concern is a dominant media narrative that has been just very prevalent of this blank slate, blank canvas, and the whole consumption of that narrative by so many people to the point where a process can happen that is absent and void of the legacy, cultural identities, and the narratives of the African and indigenous people in Detroit.
Okay, so basically you're saying, hey, we've had this whole movement of ruin porn. Now you're trying to redesign our city as if it's a blank canvas when there's lots of history here, there are people here, there are things that you should know about our city before you start making plans to wipe it away and start over anew. Is that right?
Absolutely, because that process is already being employed in many communities for decades, and it's working. So there is an alternative method.
I understand you're there with Andrew Hersher. He's a professor at the University of Michigan. He's also in Venice with you. Can we speak with him?
Yes, one moment, please. Hello.
Hi, Andrew. So you are a professor of architecture. What are you seeing at the Biennale, and what do you think about Detroit being the central focus of the U.S. portion?
I'll speak as a member of Detroit Resists, not as a professor of architecture at the University of Michigan.
Okay, different hats then. But yeah. I think that gives you some credibility to speak to this issue that you might not otherwise have.
Yeah, but it also goes to the point that Detroit Resists is a cross-disciplinary, intergenerational, multiracial collective of people who are bringing all sorts of their own varied interests, their own background to the common cause that Bryce was just describing to you. But anyway, you know, I think we Detroit Resists, acknowledge the light that the U.S. Pavilion is shining on Detroit, but I think we have a different opinion about what that light should illuminate. In the U.S. Pavilion, that light is illuminating the speculative projects by this national group of visionary architects. We think the light could very profitably illuminate the kind of architecting that communities in Detroit are doing by themselves, for themselves, or in some cases collaboratively with like-minded artists, architects, and designers. But one of the things that we in Detroit Resist, I think, want to emphasize is that architecture is not only a profession, it's not only a discipline, it's a practice, and it's a practice that communities can carry out, as well as people who have the kind of institutional entitlement that schools of architecture offer. This also has something to say to architecture, because what it means is architects don't only have to make buildings for communities, architects can also co-create spaces with communities. And the kind of work that Bryce described to you that we're really interested in lifting up is more the latter sort of architecture, and premised upon a really sort of different relationship between architects and communities.
That's Andrew Hersher. He, along with Bryce Detroit, from whom we heard earlier, are members of Detroit Resist. They are at the Venice Architecture Biennale, which, as I mentioned, is a big deal in the architecture world. And the entire U.S. exhibit this year is about Detroit.
Thanks very much for your perspective.
Okay.
By the way, Detroit Resist is using an app which virtually occupies the U.S. pavilion at the Venice Architecture Biennale. Basically, visitors can view the exhibit and their cell phone will reveal digital slogans and images as part of the visual experience, including slogans such as "Respect Existence" or "Expect Resistance." On their website, they write, quote, "We had our doubts that a dozen groups of architects who airdrop into the city were likely to produce work that honors the struggles of the people who've lived in a city with declining services, water shutoffs, mortgage ripoffs, and county confiscations. Instead," the group continues, "we guess the organizers were mining Detroit for its momentary cool factor."